Good morning. Happy New Year. We're so glad for those of you who are watching online and those who are here with us that you're able to worship with us today. So on a New Year's Day, I don't know what you guys did in your family, but my youngest daughter came into my room the way that she does every day. She ran into our room, and 99.9% of the time, the youngest daughter is looking for mom. Okay, and so most mornings, she goes straight for mom. And ignores me. But on New Year's Day, starting off the new year right, she came straight to me. Right? She came straight to me, came into bed, and just cuddled with me. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. It's all worth it, you know. And then she reaches out and touches my face, just like a TV show that a lot of us are watching. I don't want to give any spoilers, all right? And it touches out, touches my face. And I'm like, she's finally gonna affirm me and validate me and tell me how much she loves me after all these years. And so she, as she's touching my face, she says, ugly. Right? So, savage, right? And bring me in close just to stab me in the heart. It's a true story. Well, I think in life we look for validation and affirmation in all sorts of places. We look for it in success. In achievement, in love. We look for it in all different kinds of places. Now, Paul, as we've been mentioning in the last few weeks in 2 Corinthians, people are attacking his legitimacy as an apostle. They're attacking whether he is a valid apostle or not. Now, I wonder what your reaction would be like if people were attacking your who you are. If they were attacking your validity, whether you were legitimate or not, if people were attacking you, how would you respond? Well, we're going to see Paul's reaction today in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6, and I think it helps us as we answer the question of where we find our sufficiency and affirmation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Would you please stand as we read God's word together? And so the passage is printed on page 4 of your bulletin, but it's also going to be projected on the screens for you to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who affirms us and validates us, not through anything of ourselves or because of our inherent perfections. We know that is not the case. But instead, you validate us through your work, through your Son. And so, Father, we pray this morning as we enter into a new year that you'd work in our hearts and in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I said before, it's easy for us to seek validation in all sorts of places, whether it's in love, in success, achievement, or in status and accolades. As the famous theologian Michael Scott from The Office said, "Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me." There's something in the human heart that wants to be validated and affirmed. We just want that so desperately, and Michael Scott is a great example of somebody who desperately wants people's affirmations. And so this morning, the question is this: how does Jesus validate us? Does Jesus validate us? Is it wrong for us to want to be validated and affirmed? So the first point today is this: we are validated from God's work. We're validated from God's work. When people invalidate you, it's easy to get into this mindset that you need to defend yourself. I need to seek their validation. But Paul approaches it differently. He says, "I will not commend myself." He doesn't seek to validate himself. His validation from the Corinthians is not something that he seeks. He says, "You don't think I'm an apostle? That's fine. But it's not your opinion that validates me either. Instead, what he says is, our letter of recommendation is you yourselves. In other words, what he's saying is, your opinion doesn't validate me, but your lives do. That's a weird thing to say. I mean, what does Paul mean by that? Well, it's actually an analogy, and it's an analogy that is meant to teach us that what God is doing in the lives of the Corinthians validates Paul as an apostle. Not their opinions of him, but what God is doing in their midst. That's what validates Paul. And so Paul uses an analogy. He says, look at your lives. Your lives are a letter of recommendation that has been written by Christ. And the ink that is used to write that letter is the Holy Spirit. And the paper that the letter of recommendation is written on is your heart. In other words, Paul is saying this: what you have become through God's work validates me. What God is doing in your lives validates me. My validation comes from God's work, not your opinion. Now, the language of writing things on people's hearts is a loaded image in the Bible. Ezekiel 36:36 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Then Jeremiah 31:33 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And so the law was given to Moses, if you remember, in Exodus. We never got there in our series, but it's given to Moses. And the law is written on what? Tablets of stone. But in this new covenant, the law will be written not on tablets of stone, but tablets of human hearts. And so the Corinthians are living proof that a new age has dawned, that something different is happening, that God is now working in the lives of his people by writing on the tablets of their hearts. And so Paul is saying, you want to know what validates me? Just look at your life. Look at how your heart has been changed and your lives changed as a result. You yourselves are my letter of recommendation. What has happened to you is a miracle. Do you remember what you were before God worked in your life? Do you remember who you were and how you did not have hope? How you were in despair? But now God has worked and your lives are my recommendation. Your very lives are my validation. And so Paul finds his validation in ministry and an apostle through the work of God. That's what affirms him, not human opinion. I mean, does he want them to like him? I'm sure. I mean, nobody wants to be hated. But what ultimately validates him is that God is working in their midst. Now, I should be clear, right? None of us are apostles the way Paul was an apostle. None of us are, right? But just like Paul, Our confidence, our validation and our affirmation also comes from the work of God. You know, this year, right, we're in the new year, and so some of you do resolutions. Many don't, right? We hate them, but some of you are doing it. And maybe your resolution might be, this year, I'm going to read the Bible, right? I'm going to read the Bible in a year, and I'm not going to get stuck at Leviticus this year. I'm going to really power through, okay? And so maybe that's what you want to do this year. Maybe some of you want to go to the gym and eat healthier. Maybe some of you want to read more or spend more time with your family. Now, these are great things. Don't get me wrong. But the gospel, Jesus, isn't content to simply work on your behavior. He works in hearts. The gospel is God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners, and to resurrect to give his people new life. And the way he does this is by giving his people new hearts. They become new creations. The hearts of stone become hearts of flesh. And the law of God is written on their hearts. These people become freed from sin and instead become freed to serve Jesus. And this work of God becomes our validation, our source of affirmation. You know, it's so easy for us to seek affirmation and approval from other people. We want to be liked. We want to be funny. We want others to think that we are funny. We want to be respected at work. We want our classmates to think that we are smart and hardworking, or at least cool and popular. But the gospel tells us that through the blood of the Son, you already have approval. You have approval from the one whose approval matters the most. You have approval from God. You are justified. God sees you just as if you have never sinned. And you are approved by God, not because you are so perfect, because we're not, but because the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, perfectly covers us. You don't need to seek the approval of people because you have been approved by God. You don't need to seek others' validation because you have been validated by God. It is a gift of grace, and God has given it to you completely at his own cost. If you are desperately wanting to be loved and desperately seeking the love of others, the gospel tells us that you are loved with a perfect love, a transformational love. You are loved by your heavenly Father so much so that he gave you his Son. Seeking the delight of others, the gospel tells us that God looks on you today, if you are in Christ, with delight. You know, we tend to think as people, right, that if you do your devos for a very long time, God delights in you more, right? You string together 10 days, it's like, God's like, I like you. 20 days, I like you even more. 30 days, I like you the most. No, that's not how it works. If you are in Christ, God delights in you, and he cannot delight in you any more than he already does. You are validated and approved by the work of God. God's work in our lives frees us from desperately seeking validation from others because God has already validated us in his Son. And that affirmation can't be taken from you, and it is the most important validation you could ever have. So Paul saw his work as an apostle as validated from God's work. And we also find our validation through the work of God. Our second point this morning is this. We find validation from God's sufficiency. We find validation from God's sufficiency. Verses 4 through 5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Paul doesn't need validation from others because he is validated by God. And he is validated by what God is doing in his life and in the lives of others. And so Paul is a very confident guy. But Paul is not self-confident. Self-confidence for Paul would look like this. He said, you don't think I'm an apostle? Of course I'm an apostle. I am a brilliant man. Have you read my theological letters? Can you write that? Jesus appeared to me. You were saved because I preach you the gospel. Jesus appeared to me. Did he appear to you? Of course I'm an apostle. Have you suffered for the sake of the gospel like I suffered? I'm daring, confident, and passionate for the Lord. Of course I'm an apostle. Now that would be self-confidence, and that's not what he says in 2 Corinthians 3. Instead, Paul is confident through Christ toward God. He recognizes that as much as he accomplished, it is all from God, and his confidence comes not from himself and his internal fortitude, but because of the sufficiency of God. Everything Paul does well, it's because of God. God has done it. And so you might ask, so was it Jesus doing the work? Or was it Paul doing the work? Well, it's both. And in that order. See, Paul was not just lazy, and then God just does all the work for him. No, that's not what's being said here. In fact, listen to these verses here. Colossians 1:29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And then 1 Corinthians 15:10. I worked harder than any of them, he says. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. See, it isn't that Jesus works sometimes and then Paul works sometimes. It's Jesus working in Paul and through Paul that Paul's ministry is fruitful. Now, this is a mystery here, a mystery that good theologians don't reconcile this ministry because the Bible teaches both. See, Paul isn't a robot, okay? He's not being passively used by God to do his work. He's actually doing the work. He's toiling. He's working harder than any of them. But somehow, the mystery is this. God is doing it. God is working through him. And so Paul is using his agency. Paul is doing this thing according to his own will. But God is also completely sovereign and in control, using Paul to do his work. See, Paul was working to build the early church, to preach the gospel, and to see people saved. And if it were up to Paul to accomplish those things, he would be crushed with that burden. Even Paul can't change hearts. You know that? Even Paul can't build the church. But if Jesus is working, then he could have confidence. Because it's Jesus who said, I will build my church. And so if Jesus is working, Paul can be confident not in himself, but confident in the Jesus who is all sufficient and who says that he is working in him and through him. You see, when Paul accomplished great things, he knew it was God working through him. He knew that. And when Paul was fearful or felt weak, he also trusted in the sufficiency of God, because when God calls you, he will make you sufficient for the task. Now, brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to ask you this. I wonder what effect achievement has in your life. When things go well for you professionally, personally, academically, or socially, you know, you're just in a season where your friends love you and you feel affirmed and validated. When that happens, does that make you more self-confident or confident in God? Does it make you feel more self-sufficient, or does it make you more dependent on the sufficiency of God? When things go well, what does it do? Are you self-confident or confident in God? Self-sufficient or sufficient in God? Now, maybe you'll say, well, of course I feel self-confident and self-sufficient when things are going well in my life. I'm the one that did those things. I worked really hard, and I made really good decisions. Now, I don't doubt that. But the question is this: who gave you those skills? Who is it that gave you that intellect? Who is it that gave you the opportunities and the circumstances to thrive? You know, there's an NPR podcast named How I Built This. And what the podcast does is interviews successful CEOs of corporations or small businesses, and it basically asks them, how did you get to where you are? How did you build this company, in other words, right? And so at the end of every podcast, the host asks this question: when a startup succeeds, is it due to the founding team's luck, or is it due to skill? Now, the overwhelming majority of the people that go on this podcast say it's both. It's not just luck, because it does take hard work, but it's not just hard work, because you need a little bit of luck. You need opportunity. You need to hit the market at the right time, and you can't always predict the market. I had this chance meeting with someone who gave me the idea or gave me a job. Or you meet the right investor at the right time. And so some of these CEOs are completely humbled by this. Not all, some of them are very prideful, but some are humbled by this, and they say, you know, how can I be proud of this? There are people just as smart as me, just as gifted as me, that aren't in the same position I am. There's a little bit of luck involved. It's not all skill. Now, of course, Christians view this a little bit differently. We don't believe in luck. It's all God. It's all God's provision. It all comes from His hand. It's His providence. The skills and your supposed hard work are all given to you by God. And these quote-unquote lucky circumstances, those are from God as well. And so the success you experience in your life, rather than building a self-centered confidence or a self-centered sufficiency, ought to humble you. It ought to make you more confident in the sufficiency of Christ. He's the one who has given you your talents, your intellect, your gifts, your circumstances, your relationships, all that you have, including the very fact that you are alive, comes from the hand of a sufficient God. That is why we can trust in His sufficiency. Now, this particular example probably deals with people who are overconfident or who are self-sufficient. But what about all those moments that we all go through where we feel like we lack confidence or we feel insufficient? Well, we all have moments like that. In fact, if you are overconfident and self-sufficient, I would encourage you, just decide to, in faith, follow Christ and do all that He commands you to do. And you will quickly find that you are insufficient and you will lack confidence. After all, what does God call us to do? He calls you to make disciples of all nations. How many of you feel perfectly equipped to make disciples of all nations? No, if you're like me, you're like, I'm barely hanging on as a disciple myself. How am I going to make disciples? God calls you to love your neighbor and serve them. But a lot of us are too afraid to even say hi or too tired after work to even want to bother. And what about our children, right? I mean, we're called to raise them up in the Lord, but man, am I ill-equipped for that. And I certainly can't change their hearts. I am insufficient. I lack confidence. And so what should you do? Do you tell yourself, I can do it. Let me give myself a pep talk. Let me hype myself up. I can do it. I'm enough. I'm enough. I mean, that's what the world tells us to do. No. We acknowledge we aren't enough. We acknowledge we are insufficient. And instead, we trust the one who calls us to do these things will also be our sufficiency. He will give us what we need. We only need to move forward and step forward in faith. You see, the Apostle Paul was a supremely confident person. But it wasn't confidence in himself, it was confidence in Christ. And when you realize that God is sufficient and gives you all that you need to be faithful in this life, then you can, with Paul, believe that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see, it turns out that living a more sufficient and confident life is not to look inward for internal fortitude, but to look outward to a God who is sufficient and supplies you with your needs. Focusing on your own inadequacies and insufficiencies is the wrong way to look. In this life, God will call you to do things that will make you ask, "Can I do it? Am I enough? Am I sufficient?" We're not going to like the answer because the answer is no. We're not enough. We're not sufficient. The question we should be asking is, can God do it? Is He enough? Is He sufficient? And the answer is yes. So we can have confidence in God because we are validated out of His sufficiency, not our own. And the last point this morning is this. We are validated for God's calling. We're validated for a purpose. We're validated for God's calling. Verse 6, our sufficiency is from God who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now we're going to talk about the letter, Spirit, next week. All right, so we'll table that discussion. But right now I want to talk about how we are validated for a purpose, for God's calling. See, God gives us sufficiency and confidence in Him. But when I talk about confidence, I always want to be crystal clear, okay? I'm not talking about giving yourself a better self-image. I'm not talking about improving your self-esteem or having more confidence in yourself. You know, the whole point of this wasn't so that Paul could look at himself in the mirror in the morning and be like, "You've got this, Paul." Right? "The world is your oyster, Paul. You've got this." And that's not the point of this. There is something far greater than self-esteem that's being talked about here. And what's being talked about here is, are you validated before God? Where do you stand before God? With this confidence and validation, we are meant to turn outward because God is the one who is making us confident and self-sufficient, not within ourselves. But the one who makes us confident and sufficient does not do it so that you can just simply enjoy it, but He makes you confident and sufficient for a task. Jeremiah 31 is a passage that talks about the new covenant. The new covenant. And what is Paul made a servant of? The new covenant. In other words, Paul is made sufficient for the purpose of being a minister of the new covenant. Now that word minister, right? What is that word? We use that sometimes in church, right? It's the same word for deacon, actually. Okay? And all it means is servant. So Paul is saying, I am being made into a servant of the new covenant. My job will be to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. My job is to serve the church and the kingdom of God. And so Paul is made confident and sufficient not for his own desires and goals, but he's made confident and sufficient for God's purposes. See, I don't know if you know what Corinth was like, but Corinth is actually a lot like us. You see, in Corinth, people prized speakers that were eloquent, who were wealthy, who were powerful. They prized people who were popular and had a large following. And Paul could have played those games if he wanted to. Like, "Oh, you respect that, Corinth? Well, I'm eloquent. Have you read Romans? Pretty awesome, right? You like popular people? Do you know how many churches I've planted? Do you know how many, like, it's not just you, Corinth. I have churches in every zip code. I'm going to talk about powerful and popular. I'm an apostle, powerful." Right? He could have went that route. But partly what Paul is saying here is this: I am not playing that game. I'm not playing those games. I've been validated by God's work. I have been made sufficient by God, and I have been made all these things for a purpose. And that's to follow His calling. I have been made sufficient to be a minister of the new covenant. I am not going to follow your worldly pursuits. I am not going to play this game of seeking approval from others. It's pointless. I've been called for something greater. But we get caught up in those games sometimes, don't we? Maybe you are seeking to be validated in the workplace and school. You think that if you are successful enough and respected enough, that you would be enough. Others are perhaps seeking validation socially. You are willing to change who you are to be accepted by friends. You're a slave to their opinions and validation. Maybe still, others are seeking approval in relationships, hoping that you will find that boy or girl that will make us complete. Or perhaps our expectation is that our spouses will finally complete us and make us happy, expecting our children to fulfill dreams that we have in hopes that we would finally be enough. Well, you know, the Christian life isn't about adding God to your life so that you can win at these games that the rest of the world plays. God desires to get you out of the game, to replace the game altogether with purpose, with a mission. See, Paul was called to be a minister of the new covenant. And even though we are not Paul, what we're going to find later on in 2 Corinthians is that God calls you also to be a servant of the new covenant. You are called to proclaim. You are called to live out the good news of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to ask you some questions. What if you went to school or work and you didn't play the game that everyone else is playing? Look, I know your boss, your supervisor, and your teachers control a lot about your life. But what if you didn't work for their validation? What if instead you started each day reminding yourself that you are a servant of the new covenant, that you are affirmed and validated in God? And so you don't ultimately work for your bosses or your supervisors or your company even. You ultimately work for the Lord. And because you work for the Lord, you will work hard. You'll steward your resources well. After all, he has given you those things to steward. But you don't do so trying to earn the validation and praise of men and women. Instead, you work from a deep place knowing that you have been validated from God. Your ultimate goal in working extra hard isn't tied to the opinions of others, going high and low and high and low. Because working this way will work you to death. It will work you to despair and anxiety. But when you work out of the deep acceptance of the Lord, you can do your best because you are called to do good wherever you are, but you can do so with joy and peace. You are held in the hands of your God. What if you went to work and didn't treat your classmates and coworkers as competition? Look, I know you're applying to the same schools and going for the same positions, but what if, as a servant of the new covenant, you saw them as being made in the image of God, and you don't view them as obstacles to your goals, but you view them as people to be loved, to be served, that need to know the grace of God? For those of you who are parents, it's so easy to be caught up into the competition game. With social media and these awful mommy bloggers out there, it's only become more difficult. But what if, as a servant of the new covenant, you mother or father, out of the deep acceptance that only comes from the gospel, you know that you are loved by your heavenly Father. He accepts you, he validates you, he loves you. And instead of your family being a place that brings you validation, you see it as a place to serve, love, to make disciples, so that your children might know the Lord like you do. You see, the world says, serve us, do what we want, and we will validate you. We will accept you. We will make you one of our own. We will affirm you. But the gospel says there is nothing you can do to be validated before God. Nothing you can do to earn his love. It's a free gift. And if you choose to accept it, then you are validated and affirmed before him, not by anything you have done, but by the sufficient work of God. And if you choose to accept this, out of this deep validation and affirmation, you begin to serve in his kingdom. You see, you don't serve to be approved by God. You are approved by God, and so you serve. You see, when you play the games of this world, we become the servants of people. Servants to their opinions, servants to their whims, servants of their approval. But God calls us to be servants of him and for a greater purpose. See, this morning, I want you to ask yourself this. Who do you long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, from? Because for some of us, the person we want to hear that from is our boss. The person we want to hear that from is our spouse. The person we want to hear that from is from our friends. Would you long to hear that from your Lord and Savior. By His sufficient work on the cross, by His grace and mercy, when we see Jesus face to face in heaven, He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Live for that, brothers and sisters. In Christ, we are accepted first. And it is out of that deep acceptance that we pursue the purposes and callings of God. As you begin this new year and you begin to think about your hopes, goals, and dreams, would you enter this new year with deep validation that can only come from the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us and gives us grace? And would you pursue this upcoming year what God calls you to do? And would you pursue it with deep confidence that can only come from the sufficiency of Christ? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You free us from this cycle of seeking validation from the things of this world. It is exhausting. It leaves us empty. Yes, there are highs, but oh, there are such deep lows. And so we thank You that You are our Heavenly Father that sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have a validation that can never be stripped away from us. We are justified. We are Your children. You delight in us. And there is nothing we can do to change that. And so, Lord, as we enter into this new year, I pray that what we would seek is heart change. Change that can only come from You. And would we live each day, not in self-confidence, but confidence towards You through Christ? Will we not live with self-sufficiency, but dependent on the sufficiency of God? After all, whether we realize it or not, we are all dependent on You each and every minute of our lives. Would You help us to see that clearly? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.